Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel and REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. The Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In Sochi, they have cameras in the showers.
Well, you can't take any because the water's contaminated, but, you know, they do have them there.
And they're also racing to kill all the stray dogs before the opening ceremony?
I did read that, yeah.
Really?
Listen, this has not been the PR. This has not been the PR positive that Russia wanted it to be. They wanted to get rid of the image that they have. Unfortunately, this actually just intensified that image.
You know, I mean, now I feel like we have to put together an animal rescue here, take them from Russia through Czechoslovakia or whatever, and get them over here. You know, a little underground doggy railroad here.
Could be, yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry, though, but that's wrong.
I don't disagree with you there. You
know, that's wrong. I'm sorry. Too much of a... I mean, I have no idea. I'm too much of a dog lover, but still. All right. Ralph Kiner passed away today. 91 years old. He had suffered a stroke about 10 years ago, but he still managed to be on the air a few games a year with the Mets. Now, this is a guy that had a 10-year baseball career. Now, I was not born when Ralph Kiner played. I was not alive when Ralph Kiner played. But he averaged almost 37 home runs a season. You know, from 46 until, what, 56. And he had 369 home runs in that period of time. But, of course, this generation would remember him for Kiner's Corner on the Mets Network. And, obviously, he had a few malaprops, slips. One time, he went to introduce himself in the air, and he forgot who he was. And he always took it in stride. Players loved him. Mets fans loved him. I'll tell you, Pirate fans, you know, to the older generation of Pirate fans, a beloved figure. Because this guy was a crusher. At Forbes Field, he crushed the ball, and I thought it was interesting listening to Vince Scott talk about seeing how Kiner hit, and he said it wasn't just the distance, it was also how high he hit the ball, and that was on the CBS News at the top of the hour. But Ralph Kiner was a beloved figure, without question, and the players loved talking to him on Kiner's Corner, and they had that legendary lineup on the Mets radio and TV network of Lindsey Nelson, Bob Murphy, and Ralph Kiner, and they were together from day one with the Mets. And I never had a chance to meet Kiner or Lindsey Nelson. The one guy I did meet was Bob Murphy. In fact, I helped out in an Orange Bowl once when Bob Murphy was the radio play-by-play announcer for NBC. And he was, Bob Murphy, a marvelous gentleman to talk to. And they say the same thing about Ralph Kiner. So, I mean, this guy either won or tied for the National League lead in home runs in each of his first seven seasons. If he did that now, the amount of money he could make would be absolutely astronomical and off the charts. If you average 37 home runs a season, and you lead the league or you're tied for the league in home runs in each of your first seven seasons, how much money do you command? $300 million? 10 years?
That's a frightening number.
I mean, really.
That's just a frightening number.
I mean, it is. Sure it is. But if by today's standards, if somebody did that, now, of course, you'd have somebody say, well, I'm sorry, his career average was only whatever. But this guy was a power hitter. I think he hit back, when he was with the Pirates, I think he hit back a Hank Greenberg, didn't he? I think. And then on TV and on radio, he was personality extraordinaire. And the fans loved him. They just loved him. You know? He actually worked a handful of games last year. His 52nd season with the Mets. How about that? You think about that? 52 seasons with the Mets. So, Ralph Kiner passing away today at the age of 91. Baseball Hall of Famer. Most of his career with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And his broadcasting career with the New York Mets. 91 years old. Okay, and oh, I see. And Nancy Chaffee Whitaker, female tennis player, active in the 50s. She was later married to, she married Ralph Kiner in 1951, then later married Jack Whitaker. So, I mean, the great sportscaster Jack Whitaker. Wow. And she passed away in 2002, by the way. Well, I'm sorry about the Kiner, obviously, situation diverted us from what you wanted to talk about, and that is obviously co-ed biathlon.
No. I'm hanging out there a little bit, just getting ready for the opening ceremonies. But I do have a question for you in just a minute, so hang on.
You're getting ready for the opening ceremonies. They walk in with a flag. What? I'm going to get ready for the opening ceremonies. You sit there. They walk in with a flag. They wave. We're done.
There's more to it than that. Not much, but there is.
What is the mascot for this thing?
I don't know. Putin changed it, ironically. He stuffed the ballot box so it was what he wanted it to be. So what you were talking about last hour actually even was part of the mascot. I don't know. Is it like a wolf?
Please don't tell me it's not a stray dog.
No, I don't. No, if I remember right, it's some sort of wolf, but I'll find out.
The mascot of the Olympic Games is a stray dog. In a related note, the Russians got rid of it.
Steve, I'm Brian from Mount Carmel wants to chat with you.
Brian, thank you for interrupting this broadcast brilliance to actually bring sanity to the program.
How you doing, Steve?
Great to hear from you today.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you, and I'm sorry to hear about the sad news today because I'm a Mets fan, and I think I might have chatted with you when I was out of Penn State. You know, I'm a Mets fan beside a Penn State fan and Dolphin fan and everything, yeah. And happy for the Seahawks, but I grew up while watching Ralph Kiner when I was in Jersey, and that whole crew was great, and especially when they won the championship in '86. That whole crew was great, and just a sad day for
WORTV, WORTV Channel 9. Yep.
Yes, it was. Yep. And Kiner's corner, and he always had a problem saying Mitsubishi. He would go, Mitsubishi. The Mitsubishi, that's what he would always say. And everybody, my friends in high school, we always go, Mitsubishi, Kiner's corner. And he always
Yeah, there was a guy who needed his primary sponsor to be Ford.
Yeah, and I think he always gave a gift certificate, if I remember this correctly. I think he gave certificates away to the steakhouse down in New York. So they didn't go away empty-handed. Okay. So that was, yeah.
No, they
didn't. And it was always nice to even see the other players, too, when he did it after the show sometimes. It wasn't a happy recap, as Bob Murphy always said, so.
But, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
You better believe it. And talking about Penn State, I wish I could have been there yesterday to see everybody. And I'll be there hopefully in April, and then we'll see what happens. But it's It's a sad day for Mets and Pirates fans, for sure. You better believe it. But
hopefully Penn State will upset tonight.
That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah, let's see if they can. It's interesting. At least they're coming in with a wave of positive emotion coming into this one after winning three in a row, and we'll see how it plays out tonight. It's not as if Michigan State's not infallible here, because they have lost here this season, which is unusual for them.
I know, but, hey, anything can happen. That's why they play the game, as we all know that.
Yep.
Yep.
Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate the comments and the call. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. As tonight they will play at 9 o'clock. It's on ESPN2 tonight as Penn State takes on Michigan State. And yes, expect Adrian Payne to be back tonight. Missed the last seven games with a foot injury. Brandon Dawson will not play tonight in the game for Michigan State. He broke a bone in his hand, which they say allegedly happened when he pounded it on a table. Okay.
No description on why he may have pounded it on a table, was there?
No description as to why. Purdue won in triple overtime last night, beat Minnesota. Penn State right now is in a position, again, with a win tonight, they can move again right up the standings in what is a tightly bunched Big Ten. It's Michigan and Michigan State are the two separators right now. I thought that Iowa was in a position to be the third separator in this race, yet Iowa has lost in overtime at home to Michigan State. They lost to Ohio State the other night, so they've had opportunities. I know I was talking to Gary Dolphin, the Iowa play-by-play guy, the other day, and he said the issue for them is they need better guard play. He said it'd be great if we could borrow that Newbill and Frazier from him. He said, I think that would help us. But Olashaney's played really well for Iowa. Aaron White's played really well for Iowa so far. Woodbury's played well. Marble is a really good player for Iowa. But the top two are Michigan, Michigan State right now. Then it's Iowa. And then there's just a bunch after that. It's just a big grouping in the Big Ten. I think some people wonder whether it's balance, whether it happens to be parity. I just think that every team in this conference has players. I think every team in the gun, the best teams are the ones that have more and are better rounded, but everybody has more than just a player. Some teams have a player who can go off and can individually keep you in a game. But when you have two or three guys that can make an impact in a game, it changes the dynamics of the game. And I think every team in the Big Ten has two to three guys. So going into every game, that's why you see the bottom can beat the top because of that.
Steve, you said last night you were watching, when you and I talked earlier, you were watching the Lakers game, Lakers and Cavs.
Ugh,
now,
that was brutal.
I found out, you and I chatted about what was going on in that game, and here's what I found out. The Lakers had not enough players to play when one of their players fouled out with about 8:29 left in the fourth quarter, and they cannot play 4-on-5, according to NBA rules. So he ends up staying in the game, and the rule states that every personal foul after that is also a technical foul, which then involves two shots and the ball. So that's the way they played the last 8 minutes of the game.
You know what? I wish they would just institute that in basketball, period. I just don't like this fouling out of the game thing. I don't like how coaches, so often coaches handle it where they take a guy out of the game with two fouls in the first half. There's no guarantee in the second half they're going to, there's no guarantee they're going to pick up a third foul. You can play a little offense for defense and try and keep your team in the game. And I think maybe they should do that. I think college should look at that.
Well, what happened was they had a foul out with 8:29 left. That gave them five players to go. And then the sixth foul came with 3:31 to go, and that's when everything went haywire because you can't play with less than five players. So he ends up continuing to play with six and a technical foul. So you'd shoot the technical foul shots, then you would shoot any shots that might be with the personal foul, and you get the ball. Here's the scary part, though. The Cavs still lost.
Oh, they got blown out.
119-108
Yeah, they got blown out. Game wasn't even close. But I think that's a rule they ought to consider in college basketball, that if a guy gets a fifth foul, it's a two-shot technical plus the ball.
Oh, man, what a nightmare it would be, though. Okay. That would make the game go on forever.
No, it doesn't. It's he's still committing a foul, so it's two shots plus the ball.
Yeah, but see, I think you have to add
the ball back.
No, I think you have to add the two-shot technical along with the personal foul shots that would be shot. So if you receive two shots for the personal foul, I think you should have to take those and then take the two technical shots and then get the ball.
That make it three shots plus the ball. One shot technical and two free throws.
This penalty should be so harsh that no coach wants any player to foul out.
Well, three shots plus the ball. You don't even get the ball after fouling. Okay? If it's five fouls and beyond. I mean, but this thing about... that's one thing about basketball where a guy... It's the only sport where you can foul a guy out. I mean, you look at the NFL, for example. Right tackle goes out and gets five false start penalties. I mean, biggest penalty he gets is having to deal with the Monday film session where they verbally get crushed.
But why not let them play with shorthanded? Why have a rule in there that allows you to play even? You know, that... I think the punishment would be worse if you were playing shorthanded.
No. Yeah, but I want to see the best players on the floor. Right? That's what I want to see. I want to see the best players on the floor playing the game. You're trying to take them away from the game. You know, I don't care about the 5-on-4 thing. That's off the table here. I'm talking about just a normal game. Okay? A normal game. Say Adrian Payne tonight, okay, gets five fouls. On the fifth foul, Penn State should get three free throws plus the ball. It's now up to Tom Izzo whether he wants to risk keeping Payne in there to keep giving up three free throws plus the ball.
Oh, no. I don't mind that. That's not what I meant. I meant with the way the NBA rule stands now. I mean, why not let him play four? I mean, I think that's more of a punishment than the technical foul, the way they have the rule set up at this point.
Right.
But I like your idea. I really do. That makes the coach make a decision. Do I want this? Is this player so good that he's worth leaving in the game?
Right.
Or do I want to pull him out so I don't have the extra shots?
I mean, look at the Penguins. I mean, Sidney Crosby can commit four penalties in a game, eight penalty minutes. Then he picks up a fifth one early in the third period. Do the Penguins have to play the rest of the game without Sidney Crosby? No.
They've played a whole period without him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying. But that's, you know, but that's the whole point: keeping the best players on the floor. And I think that, you know, take for example the Penn State Minnesota game. You know, Tim Frazier picking up a foul late in the game doesn't foul Penn State up, even though it was a foul up by the officials to begin with. On his fourth foul. You know, I think that they've got to consider certain things like that where they keep the best players out there. Let's take a break. Come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. At 800-609-9484, you can go online to rewfinancial.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Attention residents of Central PA! The sub-zero temperatures are expected for at least another week, but Sunbury Motors is about to heat things up!
Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia is blasting through this cold winter weather.
Check out these hot deals.
22 of the snow-busted 2014 Sereno all-wheel drive midsize SUVs starting at $23,999. With up to $4,500 off and 0% APR financing available for up to 60 months. How about the all-new redesigned 2014 Kia Soul? 10 to choose from starting at $14,995. Or the 2014 Sportage LX, only $21,965. And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia helps you blast through the cold with these hot deals. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. All applicable factory rebates apply. Tax and tax extra must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. 0% financing through CAMA. Full effect final price.
So a polar bear, a leopard, and a hare?
Those are the three mascots that you were asking about. What are the mascots for the Olympics?
A snow rabbit?
A European hare, I believe. Or no. No, I can't remember what I did say. I think it's a European hare is what it was described as.
They were saying at one point it was in USA Today this morning. A snow leopard? Okay. In fact, you know, if you could get, like, just in the remote studio, we could get, like, little plush animals that we could put into, you know, kind of make us, give us the Olympic feeling. That'd be great.
I'll get right on that for you.
There was an old joke that they mentioned in USA Today this morning about how old the Politburo was getting in 1980 when Brezhnev was in charge. And then, of course, Brezhnev would need a teleprompter to do anything. And that if you tried to ad lib, it was a problem. And the old joke goes that Brezhnev started out his welcome speech to the athletes, oh, 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 oh. And they had to be nudged by somebody go, no, 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 no. Those are the Olympic rings. All right, bottom of the hour news coming up. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors Studio on the road, mobile in East Lansing. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin predicts every sports medal.
Actually, coming up, I'll have your first Olympic fun fact for the Winter Games.
What day is it over?
That's not one of them.
That's a fun fact to me.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Oh, it's snowing in East Lansing. It's a beautiful touch.
Just like being home.
Love it out there. No issue, but it's not accumulating. It's no big deal. So as a threat to all of you, I will be back tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. In these financial times where you're saying to yourself, well, what do I do? How can I grow my investments? You know, give Rick a call, because remember I was talking with Joe Susan and James Franklin about the recruiting part of it and the importance of trust? Well, let's face it, when it comes to your money, that's the number one thing, trust, and that's where Rick Weibel steps in. Go to rewfinancial.com. Tell him that we sent you, and we sent you there because we trust him. Also, Sunbury Motors, speaking of trust, you go out and buy yourself a vehicle, you have to be with a group that you trust from stem to stern, whether it happens to be the great service department, salespeople, you know, how they back up the product. Well, you're talking about Sunbury Motors, decades in our area of serving the great people of the Valley, and there's a reason why they have so many repeat customers because of what I just talked about. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now, our daily Olympic fun fact on a day where several competitors were knocked out of the Olympics in preliminary competition before the opening ceremonies.
By the way, that's sad that happened, but It did. It is widely thought that the five colors of the Olympic rings represent the continents that were represented at the first Olympics. That is not completely true.
No, each color represents, every flag in the world has one of those colors in it.
Every flag represented at the Olympics had those colors in it. However, there are not five colors. There are six. Can you name the sixth color?
Can I name the sixth color?
Yes, the ring, there are six colors. Steve, right now going, wait a minute, there are five rings.
I'm actually trying to work up my level of caring here. Right now I'm at a one.
The sixth color is white, the color of the flag itself. That's today's Olympic fun fact, as we celebrate the start of the Olympics tomorrow, that started in 1924 as the first Olympic Winter Games.
Okay. How many more days of this do we have?
17, I believe.
But how many are like during broadcast days where...
Oh, no. When we skip, when we do set... you'll have to do two on Friday and two on Monday to make up. Just kidding.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So you're not going to do two of them tomorrow?
No, I only do one tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Is it because you couldn't come up with any more fun facts?
Oh, no. No. That, my friend, is not an issue.
Okay, let me ask you something, and this is a serious question.
Okay.
Okay. What got you so interested in the Olympic Games?
Serious answer. The fact that there are Olympians and their athletes who work so hard for a sport that no one really follows or understands unless it comes around every 4 years. And the fact that you have one opportunity to do the best you could possibly do to win the ultimate prize, and you may only get one shot at it in your lifetime. That's what I really love about the Olympics, because it doesn't happen every year. You don't have another chance. It's like, well, it didn't go so well this year. Maybe I'll try next year at the World Championships. This is a sport that a lot of times these are sports that people don't follow on a regular basis, except for during the Olympics, and you have a chance to shine, and that is your particular moment, and you may not get another one.
Well, people obviously enjoy it and they watch it. I think they love the competition of it. And I think that the gold, silver, bronze part of it, they love the medals part of it because, let's face it. I mean, the Olympics are one of the few things in life where you finish third and they give you a medal and everybody goes, that's great. Yeah, but you finish third. I mean, that's the equivalent of giving the New York Giants a medal for finishing third in the NFC East. Good news, Eli Manning got a bronze. Good news, the Phillies got a bronze.
That is true. That is true. The Olympics, World Championships, and things like that, you do get rewarded for finishing third as well as second and first.
Look, I give them credit, though. In the Winter Olympic Games, I'm giving them credit for being more creative with sports, obviously. Putting the extreme sports in there, snowboarding, moguls, things like that. The extreme sports have brought young people back to the Olympic Games because that's what they participate in, and those X Games sports are what they love. Now, to my generation, when they land, I think it's good, and I give them a 10. Like, hey, you survived. Here you go. There's a 10. But I think to people who are from the ages of 12 to 30, that love extreme sports, what they've done in the summer games, and now especially what they've done in the winter games with the Shaun White world, has brought eyeballs to the TV set. How about that?
Oh, there's no question what the Flying Tomato has done has made people that never even heard of Half Pipe watch.
Well, I'm just saying, but they've also he's also done a good job of making himself a recognizable personality. People know who Sean White
is. Well, he's a personality.
Right, and people know who he is. He crosses over a lot of different lines that people recognize. Some Olympians can do that. Michael Phelps, of course, does that with complete and relative ease. Everybody knows who Michael Phelps is. Who else would be in that category? Sean White would be in that category. Lindsey Vonn is in that category. I think Usain Bolt is in that category. Carl Lewis was in that category. I mean, that crossed over lines where people hear the name and know who the name is, even though they might not know what event they're in. How about that?
Well, to give me an example of one of those stories that I like behind the sport, Hannah Kearney is the reigning gold medalist in the women's moguls. She came into Turin 4 years earlier and finished 22nd. I mean, had the worst run of her entire life, as she would put it. She said, I did not do well. It was awful. I wasn't prepared for it. She ended up working so hard the next 4 years. She came out on the last run and won the gold medal after finishing 22nd 4 years earlier. Now, she's lucky enough that she's going to be in three different Olympics. But it's that kind of story that makes the Olympics interesting to me.
Oh yeah, I think so. Dan Jansen's quest to get a gold was certainly something that certainly captured the imagination of many. People don't like the corruption.
Dan Jansen, that was his sister died during one of the Olympics, or just before it, as I remember. And, you're watching him skate that. I think it was 88 when she died the morning of his 500 that he was favored to win. Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, he fell in that final or in that in the qualifying run.
Yeah, he did.
It was one of those stories that you just it transcended sports. It wasn't a sports moment there. It was just a moment. And the whole country sat there with Dan Jansen and felt what he felt at that very moment. Those are the type of stories that make the Olympics the Olympics. And then, of course, he comes back years later and has just an amazing year.
Right, and he does. And it's every 4 years. So, I mean, this is your shot. You build up to it. This is your shot. Now, in team sports, for example, if you're the Washington Nationals, you're still waiting for that shot.
So. Yeah, but you get one of those every year.
No. But, again, the Olympics are one of the few things in the world where you finish third and everybody celebrates. Hey! Finish third for a job? Yeah. Finish third, in the NFC East? They fire you.
That's a very good point.
Finish third in the Olympics, they celebrate you. It's an interesting concept. Interesting concept. But they've done a good job of growing it. I think the ratings will be good for it. I would not doubt the ratings are down. It's 2014. So, when I talk about a broadcast entity like NBC, which has put in a total bid that lasts through 2020 or 2022.
I think it's
4.37. A $4.37 billion. Guess what? The Olympics should be in their time zone at some point during that contract.
Well, and I'll give NBC credit. They are really thinking ahead this year. They're going to do more internet mobile style coverage than they've ever done before. And a lot of that will be live.
Look, none of this is NBC's fault.
No.
None of it is NBC's fault. You can't help it if the downhill is happening at 4:30 in the morning on the East Coast and is happening at 1:30 in the morning on the West Coast. You can't help it. There's nothing they can do except repackage it and play it in prime time so you can see it. So NBC isn't doing a single thing wrong with this. Nothing. Now, what I don't like was, for example, in Vancouver, like, premier event, and, you know, it happens, like, when you can watch it, like, on a Saturday afternoon, and you can't see it, they repackage it for that night. Now, that part I don't like. Okay? We're going to put it, we're going to hold you hostage, and we're going to put it on when we want to. Really? That, now, but Russia, they can't help it. They have to either repackage, showing it live, you know, they can do it, but again. So, you know, when it comes to this Olympiad, no issues. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Rio de Janeiro. Rio is what? Are they in the central time zone?
I thought they were in the eastern time zone, but you may be right. I'll look that up.
But still, that's good. Then the next one is in South Korea, so we got no shot. But at least they're putting it in a nice calm spot in the world where there'll be no trouble whatsoever. All right.
Everybody will know how to say Pyongyang and then spell it, you know. It's the only really positive I think I can come out of it.
By the way, we have put together a fundraiser, and we're going to put you in the media hotel in North Korea. All right. We'll come back in a moment.
They're a lot cheaper there, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure they are. They include free bread and water. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Meet the Mets. Ralph Kiner, Kiner's Corner. Ralph Kiner passed away today at the age of 91. 52 years on the air, with 52 seasons on the air as a Mets broadcaster. And, of course, played 10 seasons in the majors, mostly with the Pirates. Letter was tied for the home run lead in his first seven seasons in the majors. Amazing. Averaged 37 home runs a year. Just an amazing power career. Didn't hit for average, but hit for power. And so he passed away at the age of 91. Had a stroke about 10 years ago, but still actually was active and was a part of a few broadcasts for the Mets last season. So.
And the answer to the question is, where is Rio time zone wise? They are 3 hours ahead.
Currently. When the games take place, they'll be 2 hours ahead. They do not change their time. When we go to daylight savings time, we catch up an hour. All right. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, so going in, give me three athletes to watch that you will watch to see if they can come through for the United States. They are.
Bodie Miller, Alpine men, Michaela Schifrin for the women, and I actually will find, I want to see the women's double bobsled with Lolo Jones. It should be very interesting. There's a lot of controversy about her making the team. So I'd like to see. She actually, I think, took them in the world championship and medaled there with one of her first runs. But she'll be one of those crossover athletes, summer to winter.
What's the controversy? I don't get it.
Well, the controversy is everybody was. Well, everybody was really, really close. And the talk is, and the discussion was that Lola was put on there because she's a name and people will recognize her. And that NBC wanted this because they lost Lindsey Vonn.
Yeah, but this is all about, this is like when Willie Gault was a part of it, right? I mean, that's the speed person that tries to get you off to a good start, right? I mean, that's the break, right?
Brakeman's
the one.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal.
She's not driving the thing. She's not driving. If she's driving it, and they just put her there just for the glory of it, and they don't have the best times, then, I mean, really, I mean, her job, she's a sprinter. Her job's to push the sled and then grab the brake so they don't fly off into the Russian wilderness.
I thought it was ridiculous, too, but.
I'm just telling you. You didn't think I knew this, did you?
I am a little impressed.
The Willie Gault thing threw you, didn't it?
Just a whisker. Just a
Willie
whisker.
Willie Gault, Herschel Walker.
By the way, Jason Turtleman, the loser from Berwick, will be available to us here in for next week.
Well, great.
From Sochi, wonderful. I might add.
It would probably help his chances of winning a medal if that's where he was from.
Maybe.
Because something tells me they're not sending him down the Alpine slide in the Poconos. You're angry again, aren't you?
No. I just was humorous, I have to admit. Admit it. You watched figure skating today, didn't you?
No. I haven't. In fact, you know what? I have not had the television set on one time today.
Oh, all right.
No, I mean not once. I don't even, I think the last thing that TV was on was Purdue, Minnesota last night.
Well, I watched a few minutes of figure skating. It didn't, that's one Olympic sport that I respect, but I don't like.
What were they doing?
It was the new team figure skating.
Well, they do pass a baton?
It's like adding points. I don't quite know. But speaking of passing the baton, relay in luge sounds really entertaining. They send one single man. He comes down, slaps a pylon that hangs from over the center of the ice. That opens the gate for a single female luger. She slaps the pylon at the end, and then I believe a double luger goes down, and that's how they do luge relay.
Basketball tonight, invented in America in Springfield, Massachusetts, will be on display in East Lansing, Michigan tonight, where the Nittany Lions will take on Michigan State. By the way, Penn State, according to many experts, third in recruiting, and Michigan State fourth in football recruiting, according to what many surveys are saying. They're already working on the 15 class. They're already extending offers there. Tonight, it'll start at 9 o'clock. It's on the Deuce ESPN2. That will be this evening. Nittany Lions have the longest win streak in the Big Ten right now at 3 in a row. Trying to make it 4 in a row in a very tough place to play, the Breslin Center. Adrian Payne expected to be back tonight. Guard play, wow. Frazier Newbill. Frazier one assist away from the all-time Penn State record. Appling and Harris on the other side. Great guard play. I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't need to bring it back to sports people watch.
That's all right. We'll have that on tonight here on WKOK so you can listen.
Eighth airtime.